Good evening. This is an interview for the Michigan Writers Series, Friday, September 10th, 2004. I'm Stephanie Mattson, and tonight I'm speaking with Dennis Heinrichsen, a graduate of the Iowa Writers Workshop and an instructor at Lansing Community College. Welcome to the MSU Libraries, Dennis.
Thank you.
We first read for our series with Jay Featherstone back in February of 2001, and you must have enjoyed your experience because you're back.
Yes.
Now, your latest poetry collection, Cage of Water, will be available from the University of Akron Press within the next few weeks. So I'm sorry I couldn't read it before now, but can you please tell me about some of the themes in that book and how the collection came about?
The book Cage of Water, I think, refers to this idea that we're our bodies are predominantly water, and we're locked in this sort of cage of senses. And then there's also a link to central panel in the Bosch detail from the Garden of Earthly Delights, which is a sort of a carryover theme. That the last poem in the book has the speaker and his significant other sort of walking into the center of this painting, which is this sort of circle of life, madly swirling around the pool of water there. So I was thinking of that too as the sort of cage of water as well. So it explores those boundary relationships between self and others, self and nature, self as husband, lover, parent, and so on, and sort of explores those boundaries between what I am and what I'm not.
Okay. Well, that Bosch painting is certainly very important to you because an earlier collection of yours is entitled Detail from the Gardens of Earthly Delight. So how did you first discover that painting? Where did you first see it?
I don't know. I was 6 or 7 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, kind of picking up books on it and looking at it and I'd been aware of the painting and looked at it years before. Other people have written about it. I just became fascinated with some of the images in it and started making connections to, at that time, what was going on in sort of my domestic life, which seemed to have a Boschian horror aspect of it. I'm going to read one of the poems tonight that sort of came out of that. My grandfather was getting electroshock therapy. I had a yard that I took a Zen approach to, so I just let it grow, and sort of it was Boschian-like in terms of the strange shapes the trees and plants took because I didn't prune, and it just had this sort of garden landscape, and all these other kinds of things seemed to be within the domestic fiercely happening, so it sort of thematically linked up with the images in the painting.
Okay. It's so profound. I ask questions and I just don't know where to go then. I'll move on to the next question. Earlier this year, Mayapple Press published your chapbook, Message to be Spoken into the Left Ear of God. Now, with two collections out so close together, how did you divide poems up between them?
Well,
they're
close from the outside, from the inside. The Cage of Water has been with Akron for about 2 years. From the time it was accepted to in the next couple of weeks when it's actually bound books available to everybody. So there was, seemed to be a gap, and so there was no sort of issue with selecting the poems. The poems and Message are, in fact, from a manuscript I'm working on right now. And I had enough of them done and thought that I'd always wanted to do a chapbook, so I sort of pulled 15 or so of the poems and tried to find a sequence there. So
do you anticipate having another poetry collection out sometime?
I have another one done, and it's out in the mail, and I'm trying to find a publisher.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Well, many of the poems in your chapbook evoke specific places, ranging from Iowa to Boston to Chernobyl, and of course your own home in Lansing. Did you write a lot of those poems while traveling?
I'm trying to think. I might have to look at the table of contents. I guess some of these poems have been, you know, I lived in Boston for 10 years, about 17 years ago, before I moved back to Michigan. So some of these poems were begun a long time ago and took me a while to figure out. So in a sense, they were written while I was traveling, that is moving from place to place and traveling through time. I guess they were the compositional problems that I seem to be facing in those poems weren't quite resolving as quickly as other poems, so they took a little longer to write.
Well, that makes sense. Okay. Well, in preparing for this interview, I Googled you on the internet, and I found that you participated last June in the Rust Belt Rothke Professional Writers Workshop in Saginaw, and I was pleased to see that Jerry LaFemina and Judy Kerman were also involved with that. They've read here before. Well, how did you get involved?
Well, actually, Judy Kerman is runs Mayample Press,
and
out of Saginaw Valley area, Bay City area. So I've sort of linked up with her.
And you had this chapbook out.
The chapbook was out, and she asked me to come up, and I went up. I didn't participate in the entire week. I went up. They had a nice sort of day-long reading outdoors on this beautiful Saturday. So I went up and was one of the readers in this marathon.
Well, after you finished your MFA at Iowa and began publishing, how did you end up back in Michigan and come to teach at LCC?
I lived in Boston for 10 years. I went there right after grad school, bought a house, had a daughter. My ex-wife's, my daughter's mother's family's from Michigan. And at that time, some family property came up for sale, and our daughter was 4, and we sort of looked at it as an opportunity to bring her back to Michigan and give her a kind of saner educational process in dealing with private schools and driving her here and driving her there, et cetera. So she was able to move back here and sort of walk to school.
Oh, good. I know you did your undergrad at Western,
correct,
Michigan. Are you originally from Michigan yourself?
No, I'm actually from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Oh, okay.
But I moved around a lot. I lived in Illinois and Indiana at various times. In Michigan, I actually went to high school in Michigan and then went to college in Michigan and then went on to grad school. And then, as I said, went away for 10 years and now I'm back. I consider Michigan my home. I've been here more than just about any other place.
Oh, good. Good. Now, what would you say is the number one thing that living and working in Michigan contributes to your writing?
That's an interesting question. I guess you mentioned earlier that the poems partake of landscape, and so I guess landscape would be, when I look back at my work, I know I've written a ton of poems about the Grand River. I lived in Grand Ledge for a while. I lived a block or so from the Grand and did a lot of canoeing there. I live a block or so away now that I live in Lansing, and I do a lot of canoeing there. There's a dam that I've written about many times. There's something that feeds my imagination because the landscapes are interesting. The sort of mix of, I guess mostly the deer, the rivers, the rural kind of aspect of it. Feeds my head in ways that I find interesting.
Good. Well, I know you write about rivers a lot. I noticed a reference to the Mystic River.
Correct, yeah.
One of your poems in the chapbook. Yeah. Now, I read in an LCC newspaper interview with you that was published sometime last year that you're working on a novel. So what led you to switch gears from poetry to fiction?
Two things. One, I was really interested in writing prose, so I wanted to teach myself how to work differently, because the way a poet works is completely different from my experience and the way a novelist works. So I wanted to experience that. I teach that as well, so I wanted to be able to have some experience to call in when I taught fiction writing. And I was just interested. I had a story about two of my uncles that intrigued me and their war experiences and tried to mix that with their boyhoods in Iowa, which I was somewhat aware of. So I sat down all one summer and banged out about 75 pages.
Well, what is the status of the book now?
I was on sabbatical. No, it was during the summer. And I haven't gone back to it.
Okay.
The difference in work is pretty significant for me. I've managed to be able to write poems on the fly without having a clear place to write or a clear time to write. I just managed to get it done.
Yeah.
Here and there, William Carlos Williams, I think, has been my model there. When I wrote prose, I discovered that the work ethic was I needed to be at the desk at 8 o'clock with a, you know, a cup of coffee and, mm-hmm. and not allow myself to leave until noon.
Have a real routine.
Have a real routine day in, day out. And on a Monday, I wouldn't get much done. On a Tuesday, a little bit more. But, and by Friday, I was, you know, inside the story and mm-hmm. and the living with the characters to a point where I could move them forward across the page. And part of that has to do maybe with I'm more, much more comfortable with the dynamics of a poem mm-hmm. and can sit down and get at that a little bit more quickly. And maybe someday I could do that with a novel, be very, very busy and still bang out a page a day. But it's just, it's the work is different. I need to be, you know, retired, get a trust fund.
Do you think, yeah, I'm sure many writers wish for that. Do you think that writing prose requires a much different kind of self-discipline or just self-discipline period that you don't find with writing poetry?
No, I think you need to be equally disciplined okay. and fanatical about making sure you're at the pay, you know, you're doing the writing mm-hmm. and all that, but it's the struggle that a novel is across so much space requires so much kind of more attention mm-hmm. where with a poem, a one-page poem, you can kind of live through it and get it done and then, you know, break off from the writing and,
sure.
and then go into another poem after a period of time and come back to it. It's just the both have their disciplines. It's just for me, the other one was just so utterly time-consuming that I couldn't fit it into a life that is predominantly governed
sure.
by teaching schedule.
Well, I see a lot of relationships between your poems. You know, you address same themes quite often or write about the same subjects even, so I could see how that could perhaps grow into fiction then and addressing a subject at more length.
Yeah, and that's another good point is that if you each writer has his or her obsessions.
Mm-hmm.
There's at times where you feel like you've written this poem before, and the limitations of what a poem can do, you know, force mm-hmm. a kind of repetition, and you need to reinvent within that frame. But if you turn to a story, you have, you know, the field opens up again, and you can
sure.
kind of grow into and think about that particular theme, whatever it is, and come at it from different angles, and then make explorations, because everything's new.
Right.
So that sort of intrigued me, and in fact, I was writing some short stories as well, kind of that came at a slant from the poems. For that very reason, I just thought, let me try something else with this.
Yeah. Well, what would you say are your top three so-called obsessions then in poetry or writing?
That's a good question. I'd have to think about it for a minute. I think one of my obsessions is this, the attention haiku brings on the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
These little three-line poems that mm-hmm. are so wonderfully focused and yet so resonant always appeals to me, and I like the crispness or the cleanness or the precision of that, but I also like complexity, so I'm always thinking about how to take that precision with image
mm-hmm.
and move it into a poem that is more multi-textured and multi-layered and then use lines and stanzas to, in a sense, stitch kind of haiku-like movement that tells a deeper, richer story but still kind of focuses on that precise image. And that always is, that's been something I've been thinking about for and trying to work with for a long time. Just the idea of mm-hmm. three-line stanzas, what you can do there.
Do you have your students write a lot of haiku?
No, I don't. They generally okay. don't like that kind of precision. They're not ready with it, and it ends up not being sometimes as resonant.
Mm-hmm.
I come at poems from different in a kind of different way.
Okay.
For them, still kind of image. Poetry is so beautiful to me because of the how. Sensual it can be
mm-hmm.
and how image rich it can be and image dense it can be and that always that interests me. I like trying to find those things in my poems, trying to find those precise haiku-like observations that engage the reader and then move the story forward.
Which do you love more, teaching or writing?
The semester's just started. 3 or 4 days before the semester started, I was ruining day one. But when day one came, I realized how much I liked teaching. There's so much interesting energy in a room full of 18, 19-year-old students that I would miss if I didn't do it. On the other hand, I know that I probably won't get as much writing done as I did over the summer. True. So I have to, you know, look at my life in long chunks of time to see the balance.
Good. Well, I wish you luck with your poetry, luck with your novel if you ever return to it, luck with your teaching. And thank you, Dennis, for participating again in the Michigan Writer Series. And good luck with your reading tonight.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Good.